am prepared as I can be for learning this morning that I was coming, but I think we have something. I have something for us this morning. So, if you turn to John chapter 1, we'll start there. Let me go back and review our experience together in my mind for you, and that is that I came here several weeks ago. I think maybe a month ago. Was it Jeff? A month ago? And was it a month? Yeah. At that time, I started out by giving my testimony of salvation. And I wanted to, when I left here and was driving home, I thought that I wanted to continue a series of salvation in my life. And I thought that that would be helpful, not to me, but to you also. You gave me a nice love offering the first time I came, and I was a little overwhelmed by the amount of it. And you're all really wanting to know what I'm going to say now, aren't you? And I showed it to my wife. And she was going to come here this morning, but because of the mix-up, she was getting ready to come at 11. So she had her hair almost done this morning, and she was coming out of the bathroom when I said, it's 10 o'clock. And so she didn't come this morning, but she was on her way to come. We had originally planned to go up to my son's church in Ann Arbor. He took a small church in Ann Arbor. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but about 5 years ago, he took a church similar to this, a country church, and they began to work hard and got together with some people, and they are doing really well there. So we were heading up there. My wife was fixing different dishes because when we go to church there, my son lives in a parsonage on the property where the church is. So after church, we go to dinner. So she was fixing dinner, getting her hair done, all these, you know, we were doing all that. But I'm going to leave here and drive back. That's why I couldn't do the after service today. I just felt like that maybe I needed to finish up that commitment and go up there and see my son. So you'll understand. But I wanted to say to you that I would prefer not to have a love offering. And so if you would consider, whoever the considering people are, and I wanted the whole church to know that, consider not to have that love offering. It would be fine with me. I'll still love you. I'll still come. And I'm at the point in my life where I don't need that for in any other way except to know that you say you love me. And I did take that from the $300 that you gave me. I appreciate the love that I felt by that. But going forward, if I come, If you say, we love you, that's enough. Okay? So I just want you to know that. I want to be comfortable in this situation, in this space. And that makes me feel comfortable to say that and to have that relationship with you, that you don't need to show your love monetarily to me. If you wish to do that, if you want to have a volunteer offering, that's fine. I'm happy with it. You understand all that? Okay, I love you, and I hope you love me, and I want to help the church, and I understand that you're without a pastor. Is that right? I was surprised when Yvonne Quackenbush came up to me at church, and she said, I saw you on something, streaming or something, and I had not connected that your church was connected with her dad, right? And he pastored here for a long time. And he's in New York now. Yes. And then you've had other pastors since then, right? One, two. And that your most recent pastor passed away recently. And so you're with a church without a pastor. Is that right? All of you? Do you know? And so, to be a help to you, I can't figure out what my gifts are very much, except that I think over the years I have perceived and thought that my gift was a gift of helps. And so I have to exercise that gift in everything that I do. I want to. And so my coming here, so that you know how to receive these things that I'm going to teach out of the Bible and what I think about things, will be a help to you personally, but that help will also be a help to you personally so that you can call the next pastor of the church. And that's my, it's not my goal, but it will be a result of me coming here. And if that is the result of it, then I will think that the Lord has used me in the right way. At 70, you want to be used properly and you don't want to waste your time. And by the way, Becky, no one could have said anything more encouraging to me than the last words you said to me when I left here the last time. And I appreciate. She said to me, she knew Derek, who is a friend of my granddaughter, Lindy, and she said that she had been praying, or the church or somebody, at least you expressed the fact that you had been praying for Derek. And that meant, you will never know how much that meant to me. And so, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And so what I want to do this morning in John chapter 1 is I want to go back to the beginning, basically back to the beginning of what it is that causes a church to gather together in a community. Why, what is it, and why is it that you are here this morning? We are here because of a very important truth in the Bible. And so let me pray, and then I will give to you what I have seen in the Bible on this subject, and hopefully we'll get to Matthew 16:18 by the end. And I want to end this at the normal time. So what is your normal time? I know you have things scheduled for after the service and everything. What time do you normally get out of here?
Around 11-ish.
Around 11. Okay, so I've got about we've got about 20 minutes here, 20, 25 minutes for me to lay this out to you and try to challenge you, teach you, and challenge you about how to build the church. And so that's what I'm going to try to do with us this morning. I was so blessed by what I discovered. My wife said, when I got the call to come, she said, "Do you need time to study?" So this was about 8 o'clock, I think. I said to her, "No, I don't need time to study. I need time to organize what I know." And so what I did was I went into my study. I have a little study at home, and I sat down and I quickly organized what I had. Next week, or next time I come here, I think is the 18th or something like that, scheduled time, I'm going to talk about where does help come from in going to church. And I hopefully today will tie last time I was here with the next time I'm here. So I took some time to organize, and I feel like I'm minimally organized. Is your name Mark back
yes.
there? I've been praying for your daughter off and on for since
yeah.
I was here, granddaughter.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know that. And been praying for her, thinking about her. God bless you. So here we go. Let me pray, and then we'll get started. We'll go through this. Father in heaven, we think here that you're our God and you're our Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. And we know that you're alive. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've put in us. And we thank you for the book we have here, your word, to look at. I pray that I would be able to help the people to be quickened this morning by what they hear, and that they might sense a little bit of revival as I have in the studying these passages. And I pray that you would help it to happen this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 1, of course, you all should be familiar somewhat with John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it starts out with Jesus Christ, and if you'll look at verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It talks about Jesus because in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the John chapter 1, in starting out, introducing Jesus Christ, says that he was in the beginning. And that being in the beginning, he came and became flesh. He became a human being, like no other human being, in that he never sinned. He was a sinless human being, a sinless person, a human being with heart and blood and everything that you and I have, the physical attributes of a human being. He had a soul, and he had all of his senses like we do. He was a human being. He was made flesh. But unlike him, we have sinned. And so we have a person with flesh and blood who's never sinned, never, ever had any break in his relationship with his Heavenly Father, like we have. In addition to that, Jesus Christ in the flesh was God, so that there was no other human being ever lived before him or after him or until this day that has been God in the flesh, only one. We believe that. We think that. That's our opinion, and it's what the Bible teaches. That this person born in Bethlehem was born of a virgin. That he was not the product of two human parents who we all were products of. We are, according to the Bible, we are children of Adam. We are, our federal head is Adam. Our federal head is Adam and Eve, actually. And in Adam and Eve, we are descendants who have all received from them by birth a sin nature, a separation from God. So at birth, when you were born, when I was born at birth, we were separated from God. In that, we didn't know him personally. There was no connection by the Holy Spirit between us and God. And at some point in time, there had to be a decision made by you, by me, to say, I'm not connected to God, and I need to come to God, and I don't know how, but I'm going to come. Basically, there was a searching, a thought in our heart, somehow put there by God and by the voice of other people, that said that you're lost, that you're separated from God, and the only person that can connect you to God is Jesus Christ, because he's a human being who never sinned. You understand all of that. That's very important to understand. It's very important to deal with. If you and I think, or if we maintain our idea that we're born with, that by somehow by our own effort or our own trying to do better, trying hard to do better to please God is going to work. It's not going to work. It can't work that way. It works by the fact that God says that, no, you're totally depraved, you're lost, you're separated from me, and there's a person that I want you to know about who wasn't that. And if you'll come to him, he will give you eternal life. He will give you that reuniting with God, and you'll have it. And that's what I am today. I'm at 19 years old after hearing about Jesus Christ and after trying to do the best I could and going to a church that everybody was trying to please God, but they hadn't yet stopped and said, wait a minute, God has to come to me and save me. And when I, at 19, I got saved. That was what last week was about. So here we have Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, born, and he became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Then we enter into John chapter 1. We get into the area of John the Baptist. I like to call him John Baptist. because I think it sounds cool. What's your name? My name's John Baptist. We think of John the Baptist, but it's John Baptist for me anyway. I just like to play with that. And here we have John Baptist coming on the scene right after this. And it says, verse 18, if you're there, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You know, when you think about who is Jesus, Jesus simplified. Jesus can be, if you simplify all that he is, you can simplify it to, he is the Son of the Father. He's the Son of the Father. And if you want to simplify your life some, you can simplify it to your sonship relationship with a heavenly Father. And as you, if you want to decomplicate your life, if you want to take the drama out of your life, you eliminate everything of that you think is important down to the fact that you have a one-on-one, singular relationship with your Heavenly Father. That will simplify your life. That will bring you down to this place of joy and simplicity that will unbelievably unburden you in the things of this life. I went out my garage yesterday. I started out as a retired person. You have a lot of decisions to make, and that is, what do I do today? So on Saturday, I get up, I have my cup of coffee, I go out in the garage, and I see in front of me the remnants of all of my busyness and all of the little hobbies and all the little things that I have to do. And I'm looking at all of it, and I'm saying to myself, I want to simplify this. And as I began to organize and put things in place and simplify all of the many varied articles I saw in front of me that were gathered and collected through different times and projects and thoughts, I said, this is going to take me all day. So I started to think a second thought is that, what else do I want to do? So I thought about what I normally do on Saturday is I go at 10 o'clock to a meeting where people sit down and we talk about reaching people for Christ. So I thought, you know, about 9 o'clock, I thought, you know what, I'm not going to miss that. I'm going to go. So I just, it's still unorganized in my garage. But if you really want to simplify your life, go back to your intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a son of the Father. You're a daughter of the King. You're a son of the King of Kings. And begin to boil down your life to that simplicity, and you will find everything else will be added to that. And you won't have to seek after all those other things. Anyway, so here we have in verse 18, which is in the bosom of the Father. Then, are you still with me? I'm kind of rambling a little bit because I'm trying to get going yet. I better turn over my notes here. I have a Catholic friend that I was talking to yesterday. Her name is Alice. And Alice is Catholic through and through. By that I mean that she has been taught Catholicism, the view of Catholicism, from the time she was a child. And basically what her basic belief, the basic Catholic belief, and if anybody in here was Catholic growing up, okay, so you understand what I'm saying, that the Catholic teaching is that the church ultimately is the dispenser or the dispensary of all things spiritual. All things from God come through the church. It's very important for a Catholic person to maintain that their spirituality, that their relationship with God cannot be separated from that church that they go to. Is that true? That's basically true. And so In all that they do, in all of their seeking for Christ, it has to be in the context of that church, the universal church, the Catholic Church. That's why, in certain times, in certain ages, the teaching of the Catholic Church, if you said that I don't need that, all I need is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to save me, that you were a heretic, you were someone who was against the truth. And in places where the Catholic Church had power to administrate the execution of heresy, they would kill people that said that. And we who are Christian and Baptistic or Baptist, and the Puritans in England, they were saying, you know, you can... Martin Luther, for example, was a Catholic priest who said, I don't need the church. I need faith in Christ alone for salvation. And so, in Alice's mind, everything that is of God has to be connected to the church. But she likes me and she thinks I'm saved, even though I'm not connected to the Catholic Church. So you know what I think about Alice? I think she's saved. She told me that, and if she was sitting here, she would say this. I'm not talking about her behind her back. She's the most spiritual lady on our street. I think maybe people would say I am. I don't know, but she's the most God talking in tune person on the street. All right. She said to me that when she went back to church after living a party life and a life outside the church, she went back to the Catholic Church. She said she was taking the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, in the Catholic Church, in the Eucharist, when you take the body and the blood, it turns into the body and blood of Christ, and that's what saves you. That taking of that Eucharist is what saves you. And she told me that when she received the Eucharist after being out of church for a long time, she came back to the church, she came back to God, and she took the Eucharist, she had a born-again experience. I believe her. Now, don't call me a pro-Catholic guy that doesn't believe. I just believe her. I believe that her conscience is so formed that she had to connect that. But I really believe that Alice, when she received that Eucharist that day, that she didn't just receive the Eucharist. She didn't just receive a sacrament. She received the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now, I'm trying to teach her over the next few days. She's 82. I'm trying to teach her that what I'm telling you is really true. And she and I talk. And why do I say all that about Alice? Because their whole doctrine is based on what we're talking about this morning, is that confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you see it here. Let's look at it in verse 14, John the Baptist. Here's what John the Baptist says. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John Baptist said what I just said this morning. I said it because John Baptist said it, and I read it there. He and I are friends in this area. There's only one person ever come to the earth that was sinless, that was God, and His name was Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross, and He was buried, and He rose again. John Baptist and me are in this together, okay? And if you are also, then we got a good thing going here. If you're not, if you think there's some other way of salvation, you're on the outside looking in. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. That's the message of the Bible. So John Baptist says it, and then look at verse 37 of John chapter 1. John Baptist gets done saying in 34 and 35, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. So John Baptist keeps it up. He keeps saying this thing. That's the Lamb of God. That's the Savior. That's the only Savior of the world. He's the sinless Son of God. He's the one. He keeps it up. He gets his head cut off, by the way, a little later on, you know. But he keeps saying that, okay? Then in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Question. When people hear you speak, do they want to follow Jesus? Now think about it. What did you say this last week? And was it edifying? Was it a little bit of a query to people that, I wonder why he said that? That doesn't sound like the complaining of the world that I'm used to. That sounds like something lighthearted. That sounds like something joyous. That sounds like something different. That sounds good to me. That sounds comforting to me. I was driving around yesterday and looking for people that are addicted or on the street walking. And I looked over and I saw a lady behind the Burger King on Sylvania Avenue. And she was sitting on a little piece of grass and she was sitting there. And I parked my truck and I went over and I introduced myself. And I asked her for permission to sit down next to her. And I said, do you have troubles? And she started crying. I think when I left there, what I said to her, my desire was that it would make her want to follow Jesus. So you have your speech, and the two disciples heard John Baptist speak, and they followed Jesus. So then look at verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And then look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And then look at verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. If you want to do a good study this week, if you've gone a little bit dry on your study, look up the word Bethsaida this week and find, it's I think mentioned six times in the New Testament. I'm not going to say anything more about it, but just go look up Bethsaida and read all of the passages surrounding Bethsaida. And you'll be a Sunday school teacher. If you write it all down, you outline it, you will have a Sunday school lesson just on that, okay? So what I'm trying to say is you see this confession that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only Savior, and the only hope for mankind, and He's the one. And then you see people following that, people responding to that message. And you see others coming. And then look at verse 49. This is an amazing thing. Verse 48. Nathanael saith unto him, this is another person. Jesus saw, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, watch this. Whence knowest thou me? This is something that you will experience as a Christian. Are you listening? When you think of Jesus Christ, your response in your spirit will be this. How is it that you love me? How is it that you know me? You know me, Jesus, and how is it? It'll be a wondrous, wonderful thing to you when you think of your Savior. And you will be like Nathanael. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? He told Nathanael, you're an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And watch the response. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Same thing John Baptist was saying earlier. Same thing that made Andrew and Peter follow him. And then watch how God opens up the treasure chest to Nathanael. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You know what he said to Nathanael? Nathanael said, You're the Son of God. He said to Nathanael, You stay on that mantra, basically. You stay on that statement. You make your life based on that statement, and I'll open up. You're going to see greater things than these. I'm going to show, Nathanael, I'm going to show you who I am. All right? How does this all happen going to the statement of the church? Well, you remember Peter, and this will be the last thing that I say, but you remember Peter, how there was a question and Jesus finally said, Who do men say that I am? And Peter, who he is in this passage, says to him, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says to Peter, Peter, you're a stone, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This, here, this gathering of people is a church of people who have said, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's my only hope and He's my Savior. And this is what God did. This is the treasure house, the people that you see here this morning. What we're doing here this morning is the treasure house that God, that Jesus Christ opened up. All right? How much more is there here? Here's what I believe, and I'll get into this next time I come. It will be done this morning. But here's what I believe. I believe that if a group of people who hear the message of the Savior begin to surrender their lives totally to that truth, that He is the only person, the smartest person, the only one that should tell them which way to go, what to do, the only one that can save them, the only one that can comfort them, the only hope they have, the only healing they have, Mark, all there is in life is in Jesus Christ. If they will continue to do that, God will continue to open up the treasures of heaven to them. We don't know what that is for this church. But last week when I went home, I passed four churches. All of them had full parking lots. My idea at the time was they're saying the same thing that I'm talking about this morning. Maybe not. I grew up in a church where people gathered together, but that wasn't their mantra. That wasn't their motto. That wasn't their life. Their life was doing better and better and seeing how this person wasn't doing what they were doing and what's wrong with them. But this church, if it continues on that teaching, that simple truth, that Christ is the answer, God will continue to open up to you. He'll open up to you who the next pastor should be. He'll open up to you what the next ministry will be. He will open up to you what to do here around the physical plant. He will open up to you all of these things. But this is so important. We have to eliminate the man worship in our life. And we have to realize who the man is. The man is Jesus Christ. Behold the man. Behold the man. Not this man. Not that man. The man. The Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue to behold Him in our Bible reading, in our daily decisions, then He will continue to open up the treasures of heaven. Before we get to heaven, I'm not talking about by and by. I believe in the sweet by and by, but I believe in the sweet now and now. I believe there's a Holy Spirit to come and open up God's treasures to us here in this life. And I hope you will be encouraged by that. That's all I got for you. Next week, I'll start at Matthew 16, 18. We'll go from there. And I don't know what it'll be. It'll be something. But as long as I come here, I want to continue this with you. I want your church to prosper. I want you to have all that God wants you to have. And what God has for you, he doesn't have for anybody else. I think that every local church is the worldwide center of evangelism to get the message of Christ to the world. I believe this church has a mission and a program and a confession, and God will lead you into it. And it'll be entirely, it won't be just like everything else. It'll be entirely special to your group. And so God bless you as you go. Let's have prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, I don't know what else to do this morning. I think I've said what needed to be said from me. I pray that the words that have come from the Bible here and the decision to come to Christ in all that we do will result, as you promised, opening up the treasures of your secret treasures for this church and for these people. I pray that you'd give it, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the precious blood that you shed. And pray that you'd bless this group here and the time we've spent. And help us to find people out there that will hear this message and will respond to it like we have, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything else?